This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. Because of the global economic crisis instigated by out-of-control bankers, Europe is still suffering high rates of unemployment. The average across the European Union is 12%, but the rate goes much higher in many countries. There is an urgent need to devise new strategies for encouraging economic growth in Europe. That is why the European Trade Union Confederation, the ETUC, organized a meeting of union leaders on March 19, 2014. One of the speakers at the conference was David Begg, the General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. Ireland was one of the countries very badly hit by the crisis. It had to bail out its banks with public money and now has a debt of $64 billion. This in a country of 4 million people. Mr. Begg told the labor leaders at the ETUC conference that what is needed is more public investment and a greater role for the European Central Bank.
Ireland was able to re-enter capital markets for the purpose of borrowing at very reasonable rates of interest. It is also true, too, that there has been in the last year a growth in employment of around 3%, and unemployment is now down to 11.9%, which is just under the European Union average. However, that does disguise another factor, which is that immigration levels are still quite high. The big difficulty on the employment front is that there are structural problems there with large numbers of people who are now out of work for over a year and are designated as being long-term unemployed and are in real danger of losing contact with the labour market. So there's a real need for very effective activation programmes to engage people again and to train them to be in contact with the labour market again. Of course, that's no good unless the jobs are there. And on the jobs front, they're again confusing figures, because if you look at economic growth, for instance, we have economic growth in GNP of 3.4% last year, which is, you know, extremely good. The problem is, though, that we have a decline in GDP. This is a peculiarity of the dual nature of the Irish economy. You have a significant part of it which is based on foreign direct investment. And the GDP figures are really a reflection of a decline in the pharmaceutical sector to do with patents, the expiry of patents for certain medicines. So it's hard to get a very clear picture of how the economy is doing. What I would be inclined to say is that the recovery is fragile and highly contingent on what happens in Europe, because Ireland is a very open, very small economy and a very open economy. And it has an enormous burden of debt. You know, if you think about it, for a population of just over 4 million people, the level of sovereign debt consequent upon the bailout of the banks is $64 billion. I mean, the one thing that's become clear to me, at least, is that with the structure of EMU as it is at present, it really means that in the event of an external shock of any kind, and absent the ability to devalue the currency, the whole burden of adjustment falls on labour markets. And that, in fact, is precisely what has happened. Now, as I said, the future really is contingent on Europe. And so a successful recovery in Europe is absolutely critical to us. And from the beginning of the crisis, from Lehman Brothers, initially for the first 2 years, you know, the default position essentially was a Keynesian reaction and the promotion of confidence in the economy. If you look in Europe itself, and not for me to say what's happening in the Nordic countries, but it seems to me that there has been a wiser kind of a policy of certainly fiscal consolidation, but public investment. And what's happening? We're nearly in a state of deflation, you know, an inflation level of 0.7%. Now, if inflation takes hold, that will be catastrophic for my country with the debt burden that it managed. I think there's a real problem with the banking system in Europe in the sense that these stress tests which are going on at the moment are an encouragement to the banks to conserve capital, not to lend it out to the productive economy. So if money is not coming in through that channel, then, you know, you do really have to look positively, I think, on the question of public investment and leveraging public investment with private sector means to try to get growth going. That seems to me to be the case of what we need to do on the economic side. And Ireland, as I say, is completely contingent on a successful outcome on that front. On the social policy side, really the difficulty for us is that we're in a kind of a decision trap. We have the policy of the EMU, according to the European Central Bank, an enormously important status, an enormous amount of independence, not amenable to accountability to any political institutions. And that is not matched by any social institution at all through Europe. One of the reasons being the social policy is still predominantly a national competence. And we haven't been able, we have a collective action problem basically. We can't match or balance, if you like, the European Central Bank. It seems to me that unless we manage to deal with that problem in some way, we are going to be in continuing difficulty because the remit of the bank is so narrow. We have to change the remit of the European Central Bank and make it more like the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States, that instead of being just concerned with price stability, it has to be concerned with the general condition of the economy and with social issues like unemployment. Now, you might say that's impossible, so we can't do it. But consider this. One thing that has been revealed by the crisis, I think, is you cannot have a currency union, or cannot operate it effectively without a fiscal union and a political union, basically, as well. Up to now, you know, European integration has proceeded on the basis of a kind of permissive consensus. Europe needs to embark on the most ambitious phase ever of integration in circumstances where its citizens don't want to hear of it. So unless you can change that and create the political legitimacy for the further period of integration, really Europe, I think, will just limp on. So people have to start thinking outside the box, and solutions which were unthinkable, you know, up to now, I think have to be really seriously considered for the future.